No, not today. Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher in for the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Jumping off in hour two, momentarily, we'll have Mike Stanfield, Senior Vice President of Sales of the Saints and Pelicans, at Ticket Trace on Twitter. The reaction from the Pelicans fan base, Deuce. 2,500 new season tickets after the Pelicans landed the number one pick in the lottery last night. Pretty strong.
I think that'll play. I think that's impressive when you talk about just over the lottery, and then you look at the excitement as well from a viewership standpoint. That is up, you know, for ESPN as well. This used to be something that they did at halftime, and they have turned it into a show. All, you know, taking cues from the NFL in a sense, how the NFL does their NFL draft. But this wasn't even a draft. This was just a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
For the draft, and so a lot of excitement for the Pelicans, obviously. And, you know, what I'm interested in, and look, I've gotten, I think it was 3 emails already as well.
Really?
From the Pelicans talking about some of the packages that they have, you know, whether you need to renew or whether you need to, you know, a guys night out. So it's been a pretty savvy and swift media push to get new ticket holders, policy holders in place for the Pelicans.
How excited are you about the Pelicans getting the number one overall pick? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Ken in New Orleans, what's going on, Ken? You're on WWL.
Hey, I wanted to mention that, you know, the NBA is not the same as the NFL, so these guys if they come and declare for the draft and they participate in the draft, the team that drafts them holds their rights for like 4 years or something. They can't just like go play at Duke or go overseas and then come back next year and re-enter the draft. The Pelicans.
But if you withdraw from the draft, though, Ken, it doesn't matter.
Well, this is true. He would have to withdraw from the draft before the draft ever occurred, then he wouldn't even be
there's
allowed.
There's a 10-day window, I think.
Yeah, there's a window. Yeah. There's an out for him, I mean, to technically take if he wanted to. I mean, but then
it's the combine. It's, well, 10 days after the combine.
Yeah, and the combine is coming up, which right. is in Chicago. What's interesting is then, you know, you have to go and look at what has he done at Duke, you know, from a class standpoint. You know, can he be
right.
eligible or get eligible if he's going to return back to Duke, if that's going to be the case?
The reports out of there is that he's not going to academically qualify for his sophomore year. So he'd have to basically go overseas somewhere and play for a year or sit out.
Yeah, I get the national speculation about that and some even urging them to do so, but I just think that it's not going to happen. I think you're going to see Zion in a Pelicans uniform and be the number one pick. Mike Stanfield joining us now, Senior Vice President of Sales and of the Saints and the Pelicans at Ticket Trace on Twitter. Mike, how are you? I'm sure you guys are super pumped about the news yesterday of getting the number one pick in the NBA lottery.
Well, we were. I know I was texting with you last night. We had over 50 people here last night past midnight, and I know that the folks got here back. They were here on 5800 airline about 6 a.m. again today, and short lunch today. So we've been busy.
You sold 2,500 new season tickets last night?
Yeah, last night. Yep, sure did.
What's been – do you have an up-to-date total as to, you know, 24 hours later?
I as I sit here right now, I don't have that number. I know that we're over 1,000 today. I don't have an exact number. But I do know one thing. We took down the ability for people to buy tickets online, because what was happening is people were logging on to the website, people outside of the city, outside of the state, outside of the region, and – it was broker types people that were buying tickets, and we're just going to try to profit. We had some broker tickets last year for the Pelicans. We canceled all those seats, and we want fans in the seats, and we'd rather not just sell the seats to sell the seats. We need actual fans in those seats. So that's down right now, so you got to call 504-525-HOOP.
Mike, tell us a little bit about that when you talk about the brokers just buying up those seats, and then what they do is they go, you know, they have their sites or they sell them to some sites where they try to upsell them, and it kind of hurts the attendance for you guys and just some of the things that you're trying to do to try to get that organic growth as far as fans are concerned.
Good question. you know, we talk about it. Dennis or Mrs. Benson will ask me during the day, hey, how do we look tonight for a particular game? And I'll say, yeah, we sold all the tickets in the lower level. And you get to the games, and we've all been to the games this past year, and you see the so many empty seats in the lower level. That's people, that brokers that have bought tickets, out-of-state brokers, people who have bought seats speculating, and then there's nobody in the seats. And we are what we try to do is we try to create a excellent environment for a winning environment to win in, at the Smoothie King Center. And you got to have people in that building. And just to sell a ticket that isn't everything anymore. The ticket world has changed the last 5 years. And so we're changing with it as well.
Mike Stanfield, Senior Vice President of the Sales for the Saints and Pelicans. And so roughly about 3,500 new season tickets since the number one pick was netted by the Pelicans in the NBA draft lottery. Would that be accurate?
Good ballpark. Yes, sir.
Mike, thanks for the time, man. We'll let you run.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Mike, what's that number one more time?
504-525-HOOP. 504-525-HOOP. And we'll be here. The office is open tonight. We'll have people working, I'm sure, late night again tonight. So an exciting time at 5800 Airline. I got to tell you, we're fired up right now.
It's an exciting time for just the Gulf South in general. When you talk about Zion, of course, the excitement about the Saints. I mean, it's pretty fever pitch right now, Mike.
Yeah, it's you know, everybody I'm sure saw that video last night. We talked to Griff last night at about 11:45, right before midnight last night. Most of the staff was still here on the phones, and we had a great conversation. We had planned for that. I mean, I know it was only 6%. But we had IT people here. We had over 50 salespeople here. We were prepared for success, whether it's on the court, whether it's on the field, or it's in the office. We're ready for success.
Mike Stanfield, thanks again, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll step away and come back to your phone calls, 504-260-1870, text 870-870. This is Saints Radio, WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Deuce and Christian here hanging out. Coming up at 5:35, Will Guillory, Pelicans beat writer for The Athletic, at Will Guillory on Twitter. I think he was up there at the draft lottery as well.
Yeah,
in Chicago.
Is. Yeah, he was.
That was a crazy scene. I love the reaction from Alvin Gentry when he heard the news, you know, cranking out an expletive and getting some high fives from other NBA rival teams. And that's why, when you see that, that's raw emotion, and right. you got to appreciate that. He knows that he just landed one heck of a player.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we think we know who that player is, but, you know, for him to show that emotion and for him to be able to go through what he has done as far as coaching and to have this opportunity, you know, just huge. It's huge for him.
The AD meeting with David Griffin in the next couple of weeks. I think it's going to be after the combine.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be, after combine. It's in the next 2 weeks.
If you're David Griffin, what are you doing to try to sell AD that, hey, look, you can win here?
My pros and cons. I mean, and your destination teams, LA and quote unquote New York, the Knicks,
are train wrecks.
Well, if I do trade you to those teams, I'm taking all their assets. I am taking everything that they have as far as players. I am gutting that team. So once A, B, C, D are gone, is your situation there better or is it better here with the pieces that I already have? And so we've already started to change the training staff. We've already started to change some other things that I did in Cleveland. So for him to lean on his track record, and then show the change that he's already started to do. You know, you talk about, well, look at, you know, my ability to be able to add maybe another max player. That may be the case. You know, that may be the case when you talk about having 3-4 max players. Now you get into the problem of what is your bench going to look like. But, no, you know, even having the opportunity to try to improve that. So there's ways for this team to be able to create space. When you talk about adding the other superstar, but to be able to really lean on his track record as a GM, that's what he's got to be able to sell.
If you're David Griffin, do you at all push the envelope and say, hey, D, look, I'm gonna keep you on this roster until next year's trade deadline? Is that a leverage point?
Yeah, next February. It is a leverage point, but your leverage drops, and that's just because teams may not give up as much as they would now, going into knowing that in 1 year he's going to be free.
Right.
You know, because the leverage now is I can sit you until February, but, you know, if the package isn't there, then I'm going to be taking a lesser package come February.
Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Your reaction to the news that the Pelicans won the NBA draft lottery and likely going to land Duke stud, Duke star, Zion Williamson. Number one at Duke, had that shoe blowout in the season and cost some time, but he was back for the NCAA tournament. But what can he do that AD can't do?
From the standpoint, I think he's probably I'd probably need to study a little bit more. I mean, as far as his overall game, I mean, because you look at it, AD's bigger. He's thicker. He's a thicker guy. So probably on the defensive side, he's probably going to be more of a better defender. You know, I don't know how well he's going to step out and be able to shoot the three. As when you talk about stretching the floor, probably a tweener. I mean, because he's listed at 6'7", so he's a 3/4. AD plays the 4, can play the 5, doesn't like to play the 5. Is going to beat you with quickness and basically can do a little back to the goal game. So, you know, he's not your traditional center, but he's a guy that can stretch. So with Zion, he's a guy that can run the floor. And then you want to see him continue to develop his outside game. I think that's where he's going to improve.
If you move AD and get a number 3, right? Knicks had the 3rd pick.
Knicks had the 3rd pick.
So you got the number 1 and number 3 there. That jump starts your rebuild really fast.
Really, really, really fast. And then, you know, I think Morant goes to Memphis, guard for Murray State. But, you know, then you talk about R.J. Barrett, who was with Duke and Zion. They were together at Duke, and that's who you more than likely would pick at that number 3 pick. But then you look at what the Knicks have to offer, you know, and you talk about Mitchell Robinson, a former New Orleans, he's Chalmette, big man, but I know the Knicks like him a lot. You talk about Knox, who it's already been leaked and reported that the Pelicans have started to do some homework on, played at Kentucky, or you talk about Dennis Smith Jr. Now, I don't see the Knicks giving up both of those guys as far as Mitchell and Dennis Smith, but you know, if it's me, Dennis Smith has always had some issues. He was traded from Dallas to New York, and he started to flourish a little bit there. So if it's me, I push for Robinson and Knox, and then at least probably 2 other future first-round picks and another filler player from the Knicks if you're going to be able to get that plus the number 3 picks.
Yeah, I think Jason Tatum, though, in the Celtics, I think that's still the best possible trade partner.
Yeah, yes and no. The draft was not kind. The lottery draft was not kind to the Celtics. So, you know, the Celtics thought they were going to be in a position really where the Knicks were and kind of controlled the draft. But, man, you know, they're not. So you're talking about future picks, but a potential player that could be very good and Tatum. But, you know, when you look at their season this past year, all those guys were down, and I think they had some division amongst the team members because of the flirting with AD per se, and they didn't play as well. You know, Tatum wasn't himself. Mm-hmm. He didn't look like a guy that was ascending like we thought he was. And then you look at Brown, you look at Smart, you know, and you know, it would just be interesting. Now they have a ton of first rounders, which would help you. But, you know, there may be some more immediate impactful players as well as picks available to you.
Sherman on the North Shore. What's going on, Sherman? You're on WWL.
Paul, I just want to say you talked about Griffin talking to Anthony Davis about how the opportunity for winning is here in New Orleans. And I don't think that's Anthony Davis's motivation. I think he is somewhat of a puppet being controlled by Clutch Sports and LeBron. And if he was about winning – he wouldn't be looking to go play with LeBron James in a train wreck of an organization, playing with LeBron into his late 30s. LeBron's already showing wear and tear. There's a much greater opportunity elsewhere than Los Angeles for Davis to win if that's his true motivation.
Nah, you're right on the money there, because I think it's about more so being in a big market like L.A. And look, let's face it, Sherman, Deuce, the NBA would love to see AD in L.A. or New York. But the fortunate part about it is what I love is David Griffin and the Pelicans are standing fast, and they're going to say, look, you can do this on our terms. You're not controlling this thing. That's a positive. Coming back for Will Guillory, Pelicans beat writer for The Athletic, next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Still kind of getting over the craziness of the NBA draft lottery. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Deuce McAllister, Christian Garrick, welcome in now. Will Guillory, Pelicans beat writer for The Athletic. Will, you were there in Chicago. Describe the madness that ensued when the Pelicans, who had a 6% chance, ended up with the number one pick in the lottery.
Yeah, I think madness is probably the right word to use. I mean, you just kind of heard the audible gasp throughout the room as people realized the Lakers were moving up, then the Knicks jumped up into the top four, and then the Pelicans jumped up there. And then seeing the Knicks weren't in the top two, I think there was another gasp. And then once people realized the Pelicans won, it was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I mean, I don't think anybody expected to see that coming. I know I certainly didn't, with them coming in with a 6% chance. And it's kind of a great opportunity for this team to kind of start over and put the ugliness last year kind of behind them.
Will, when you see or read some of the reports from the national media speculating that Zion should go back to Duke or play international just because, you know, the franchise doesn't deserve him, what's your thoughts on that?
I find it kind of funny, to be honest with you. I think anybody that looks at Zion and think that guy will be playing at Duke next year, they're crazy. I mean, we saw that guy literally get hurt last year as a member of Duke, and I think that's a legitimate fear for any guy his caliber playing at the college level, that, you know, any one injury, any one slip can greatly affect your career going forward. So I think that's a guy that's ready to sign a contract as soon as possible. And I think, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that he came into last night expecting to land with the New York Knicks. I think there are a bunch of people around him kind of whispering to him about the possibilities of playing with Kevin Durant, playing with Kyrie Irving, being in Madison Square Garden, and, you know, being a 19-year-old kid. I'm sure that's something he was looking forward to, and kind of having that curveball thrown at him that, well, now you're going to play with the Pelicans, an organization that, you know, one superstar is kind of running out of the back door, and now you're going to be the new guy. I'm sure that was kind of startling to him, but just knowing the type of guy he is and seeing the way he operated at Duke, I can't see him turning down an opportunity to compete at the highest level. And I know how much he cares about, you know, his teammates and winning and competing. And I think once he kind of settles down and sees the kind of opportunity that's ahead of him, I think he's going to be excited to be a part of this Pelicans team.
Let's assume that the Pelicans have to move AD. You know, I know that Griff and AD will sit down, you know, after the combine, but let's assume that the Pelicans have to move AD. Now you know the draft order. What's probably the most enticing offer that could be put together for a team? And George, when you look at it, the Knicks at number three.
Yeah, I think the lottery just played out about it as well as you could have hoped if you're a Pelicans fan. First of all, grabbing that number one pick, and then the New York Knicks landing at number three and the Los Angeles Lakers landing at number four. I would say that was probably the two most likely teams he could have gone on before the lottery and before you even knew where those picks landed. And now seeing that you're going to have enough leverage to kind of use those teams competing against each other to say, well, we're willing to grab either three or four, I think it's amazing for this Pelicans team, and they kind of have all the cards in their hand now. And I think when Anthony Davis kind of made that public trade with Chris back in February, you saw the Pelicans kind of push back because he kind of took all of the leverage away from them. And he said, well, I want out, and I'm going to give you one team that I want to go to. And no general manager wants to be in that position where they're kind of forced to make a deal. So now I think David Griffin's in a position where he can fight to keep AD around. He can keep him around until the trade deadline next year. He can trade him to the Knicks. He can trade him to the Lakers. His options are really open. And I think that's the best position for you to always be in. But right now, I would say the Knicks are probably still the favorite just because they have a whole lot of draft picks. They still have a young guy like Kevin Knox on the roster, Mitchell Robinson. and that number three pick gives you the opportunity to pair Zion Williamson with his college teammate R.J. Barrett, which if he wasn't excited about coming to New Orleans before, if he has an opportunity to play with R.J. Barrett here, I know he's going to be excited about coming here.
Will Guillory, Pelicans beat writer for The Athletic. Will, there's been comparisons of Zion to LeBron James. Do you think those comparisons are on the money?
Yeah, I think it's a little unfair just because I don't think he has the same level of skill LeBron had. LeBron was just like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of guy when you talk about the combination of size, athleticism, and skill, and just savvy IQ about the game. I don't think we'll ever see a guy like that coming out of high school. But I can tell you this much, I don't think Zion's the best prospect I've ever seen, but I don't think I've ever seen a prospect like him with a combination of size, being a guy that's 280, rock solid, and can jump out of the gym, unselfish, plays hard every night. I mean, it's an incredible package to put into one guy, and you kind of see just the skill set he has and how there's still so much for him to be able to grow in his game, and he can add so much. I think it's kind of scary to think about what he can be. I think the LeBron comparison is unfair, but I think being that type of level of superstar talent, I think he can get there once he starts putting in the work.
Will, we know you're scheduled to be at the Combine up in Chicago as well, correct?
Yes, I'll be there tomorrow.
So that window, I think, on the top end has shrunk. You know, it's Williams, R.J. Barrett, Morant. But, you know, if the Pelicans are able to, let's just say they're able to flip this pick and maybe pick up three first-rounders, you know, what are some guys that you'll be looking at as well that you have your eye on as far as up at the Combine?
Yeah, I think you mentioned him before. I think, Ja Morant is a guy who I think is going to be a star in this league. I just love everything about his game. I think he's an incredible athlete at the point guard position, but what I love most is just the way he sees the floor. I think he's an incredible passer. He loves getting his teammates involved, and I think you saw during the NCAA tournament where there was a bunch of attention on him. People had never really saw him before, and it was his first opportunity to really play on that big stage, and he didn't come out and have like a 35-point game. He had a 16 points and 16 assists type of night. And I think that tells you everything you need to know about him as a player and how he approaches the game. And R.J. Barrett, I think there are a lot of flaws in his game that kind of stood out during his 1 year in college. And obviously when you compare him to Zion, I think those flaws kind of stand out more. But I think he's going to be a really talented scorer in this league. And I love just the drive he has and the heart he brings to the game. That guy is unafraid to take any shot against any team. And that's what you want to see first and foremost from a scorer coming into the league. And I think the sky's the limit as far as what he can do to add to his game. And another guy I would throw out there that I really like is DeAndre Hunter. I think he's a wing that has NBA size right now, played in the Virginia program that allowed him to really figure out his role and not kind of do anything outside of his box. I think he did exactly at Virginia what he's going to do in the league, and that helps a lot with his transition. So I think that's probably my top three guys other than Zion, of course.
Will Guillory, Pelicans beat writer for The Athletic. Thanks for the time and knowledge as well. Thanks, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys.
All right, coming back for Chuck B in Mid-City. Also, Joe in Mandeville was waiting. Call us back, Joe. Always love to hear from my guy, Joe in Mandeville. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Right back for Chuck B in Mid-City. What's going on, Chuck B? Look, no more hazing over the Swiffer incident, all right?
See, I wasn't going to go there, but you had to mention it, Swiffer man. How you feeling? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, man.
Last night should have made you feel better.
Yes,
if you didn't
it did.
If you didn't leap out the chair with no pain at all, go see your doctor.
Man, I'll be honest. I was watching the LSU-UNO baseball game, and then I was just checking on Twitter, and then, oh, my gosh, holy cow, the Pelicans got the number one pick? It was amazing.
I was like, no, I saw the entire thing. By the time we got to like 6, 7, 7, 6, I'm like, whoa. Could this be happening? Can we do this? They got to 2. I was already freaking out. That was great. And the first thing I thought was, if AD isn't jumping up and saying, you know what, let me rethink all of this right now, if that wasn't his immediate reaction, just let him go. Because my thought is, you think about how the Saints, everybody talks about the locker room, the maturity of the locker room, the character of the locker room, the leadership in the locker room, people who want to be here. You can't play with people who are halfway in and halfway out. It's a mindset. It's a You know, it's an example on and off the court, and it's a chemistry. If we have the opportunity to get a kid who he played with, you know, in the art in terms of Barrett, right? If we have that opportunity, and we have the opportunity to have somebody else completely pay for AD, so that if, once the trade happens, there's no residual payments that we have that alleviate some cap room, right? That's a good start to me.
Now look, Chuck B, again, I think I've come to the conclusion that, yeah, I'd like to see David Griffin potentially talk AD in the pairing with Zion.
Oh, it puts you in the top three of the West.
But at the same time,
you don't know what's going to happen with Golden State.
Right. But at the same time, if you get that third overall pick, man, and a couple more players and another future number one pick, man, you're set up for a really bright future.
You're set up for a bright future, but it may take a couple years for those guys
We're good with that because we already have the energy in the fan base now. We're going to support something. I mean, just like Golden State, they built that thing from the draft for the most part, right?
That's correct.
So it may take a – I mean, look at the Saints. 06, we got our coach. We got Drew. We got Colston, you know. So we got a core in place. We had Jari Evans. You know, it took a couple of years. We won in 2010, the 09 season, 2010 Super Bowl. But it was a process to get the locker room right, to get the leadership right, the character and the talent level to where you're in a position now to win it all. We're good with waiting on that because we'll be able to see the progress with these young players that we know we got locked up for a couple of years anyway.
No, I agree 100% with you. I mean, but, you know, the NBA is a little different just because of so much movement from a player standpoint. But I agree from that standpoint where you can grow it organically and those players are built through the draft. The only player that was not drafted by Golden State was Durant, who ended up signing as a free agent. They drafted the other three guys.
Chuck B in Mid-City, thanks for the phone call. We'll step away and come back to your calls at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is WWL. Right back to the phones we go. Brian and Hammond. What's going on, Brian? You're on WWL.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's a fun time in New Orleans sports. I went to I think it was Monday. I went to the website. I think it's tankathon.com, and I go to the website, and the first thing it pops up is Pelicans with the first pick. So I froze the phone. You know, I took like a screenshot of it and I left it there. I didn't mess with it or whatever. So it was crazy when I saw the number one pick fall in their hand. I just wanted to say though, if you know, I understand what Anthony Davis. I mean, it's hard to come across a player like that. So it's I can understand why Griffin is like, you know, try to keep him around. But in the case that we can't convince Anthony to stay, I think I think a really good trade would be to send him to LA. And I know it sounds crazy, but you send him to LA if they're still willing to give up what they offered earlier in the season, as well as that number four pick. I mean, you get Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and you get Lonzo Ball, and you get the fourth pick. And
so, Brian,
you can take Lonzo.
Brian,
yeah.
Lonzo doesn't want to be here. He's already on record.
Well, no, that's what I was following up to say. Then you take Lonzo Ball, who doesn't want to be here, and you go talk to Phoenix, who has the number six pick, who he reportedly said he wouldn't mind playing for, who is in the market for a point guard, and you try to work that out, and you possibly, with starting all the way over, you possibly could have the number one, the number four, and the number six pick. And I say at that point, you go all in, man. So you, a jersey change.
You know, Brandon Ingram is hurt right now, and he's going to be coming off injury, and we don't know if he's going to be 100% at the start of the season or 100% anymore, period. Correct?
Brian and Hammond, thanks for the phone call. We got to push out of here. Coming up next hour, nothing but your phone calls at 504-260-1870, text 870-870.